Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
On a Wednesday night, we come your way continuing to broadcast the show from Orlando, Florida, and the winter meetings. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to be with you. We have just an absolutely jam-packed show tonight. So many folks are going to be joining us. It is Wednesday, so we'll have our weekly conversation with Bernie Miklas in about a little bit more than 10 minutes. And then later on in the hour, Robert Murray, Baseball Insider with Fansided and the Baseball Insiders podcast will join us. Former Major League outfielder Brett Phillips is going to join us for what I would really, really encourage you to stick around for that conversation later on this hour. I think you're going to really enjoyed. He's a special guy, and he's a lot of fun to talk to. Next hour, we'll hear a little bit from Chaim Bloom. He did meet with the media for one final time today. Spoke with us kind of quickly after the Rule 5 draft today, so we'll play back some of what he had to say. We're going to talk with somebody who we talk to every year at the baseball winter meetings because I love his organization and love being able to help tell his story. Kemp Golden's going to join us. He runs the Because Baseball group, and they're a bunch of people who take baseball to Egypt and do youth camps and things like that at a place where baseball doesn't really exist, and they work with major league teams and take former big leaguers. It's a really cool organization. We're going to learn a little bit more about that. Padres pre- and post-game host Sam Levitt's going to join us, and also Mike Claiborne here in Orlando will join us for a little while as well. So that is what's coming up on the program today. As mentioned, it is a very, very busy show. Here's the bottom line of what happened over the last 3 days. Not much. And I know that's disappointing for a lot of Cardinal fans because the winter meetings were built up as one that could be very active for the Cardinals. Unfortunately for them, the market just never really followed along. I'll say this over and over because I've seen people be very critical of the Cardinals for not making trades during this winter meetings. I think that would have been a legit criticism of the club if moves were being made across baseball. They're not. The trade market just simply has not opened up yet. And you don't want to – if you're Chaim Bloom and you want to force a trade just to make a trade, you're going to be selling low. And if that's what you want the Cardinals to do, I got nothing for you. I got nothing for you. I don't want them to sell low. I want them to get as much back as they possibly can. And the market's just not ready for that. And it's disappointing because everybody was here. Now, there were some things that happened. Kyle Schwarber signed. Edwin Diaz signed. Pete Alonso signed. Kyle Finnegan signed. Steven Matz signed. So, I mean, there were some moves that were made, but there weren't trades. And I think it's unfair to be critical of the Cardinals for not making trades when nobody was making trades. And if they end up not making trades, period, like if this ends up being just a really quiet offseason and they don't move anybody or very few people and the roster looks very much the same and they don't have the talent acquisition that we think that they're going to have and when we get to spring training, at that point I can be critical of the club. But I'm not going to be critical that they didn't pull off a trade on December 10th. I'm just not. There's no reason to be critical of the club in that situation. Today was the Rule 5 draft, so the most action that you were going to get was what happened with the Rule 5 draft. Cardinals did pick up a right-hand pitcher, Matthew Pushard. He comes from the Miami Marlins organization. So because he was selected in the Rule 5 draft, he is immediately on the 40-man roster, and then he has to stay on the 26-man roster the entire season. If they want to remove him from the 26-man roster, they would have to offer him back to the Marlins. But he offers some pitching depth in the bullpen, and I think there's a pretty good chance that he ends up spending the entire season with the Cardinals. Just they're really looking for guys who can cover multiple innings, and he is someone who can do that. The Cardinals did lose someone today, and I know a lot of people are bummed out about this. Right-hand pitcher Cade Winquest was selected by the New York Yankees. I think it's going to be interesting to watch how this plays out because it's a lot easier to go be a Rule 5 pick for the St. Louis Cardinals as a pitcher where maybe the expectations are not quite as high. If you're a Rule 5 pick of the New York Yankees, you're going to have to go out there and you're going to have to perform. So we'll see whether or not that plays out or if there's a possibility that Winquest ends up getting offered back to the Cardinals. And based off some comments that Randy Flores made today, I think that if he were offered back to the Cardinals, they absolutely would accept him. There were some other players. The Cardinals also selected a player in the minor league portion of the Rule 5 draft and a pitcher by the name of Ryan Murphy. He comes over from the San Francisco Giants. But that was that's the news. That's the action. Unfortunately, the big action of the day is coming from the Rule 5 draft. I say unfortunately in the sense that we don't have more to talk about impacting the Major League roster. I thought the Cardinals would make a Rule 5 selection. They did make the Rule 5 selection. It was my first time actually going and being in the room as the Rule 5 draft was going on. It always takes place at the Baseball Winter Meetings. I don't know why I haven't gone previously, but this year I did go, and it was enjoyable. And then after it got done, Randy Flores spoke with us for a little while. Then Heim Bloom spoke with us for a little while. And then each of those guys were on the same flight to get back to St. Louis. So they have already arrived back to St. Louis. And they even when Bloom was talking about trades and things like that, he said the day's not over. So it just because the winter meetings are over doesn't mean the conversations stop. And I'm starting to get the sense that the winter meetings don't really push things forward as much as maybe we had spoken like they did previously. They just don't. And, you know, they were joking about the fact of hoping that they would have the Wi-Fi on the plane just in case a text message happened to come in that might push something over the edge. So that group is still working. The day is still going just because they happen to be back in St. Louis and not in Orlando anymore. Doesn't change anything in terms of them being able to go out and continue to work deals. And all we can do is sit back and wait, and hopefully we have something to talk about sooner than later. Again, coming up on the program this hour, we've got so much. It's a fun show today. We are going to be joined by Bernie Miklas in about 5 minutes. Later on this hour, Robert Murray is going to join us, baseball insider, and then former big league outfielder Brett Phillips. You're going to love this conversation. It's going to be coming up in just a little while as well. Up next, Bernie Miklas is with us. You are locked into a Graybar Sports Open Line. We are live at baseball's winter meetings in Orlando. More in a moment right here on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Overline right here on KMOX, continuing to broadcast from Orlando, and baseball's winter meetings are, let's just say things have slowed down just a bit. There's not very many people here anymore after things wrapped up earlier today with the Rule 5 draft. Happy to welcome on to the program right now. Of course, you hear him all over here on KMOX. You also see him and read him over at STL Sports Central. It's our good friend Bernie Miklas. Bernie, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
It's always great to be with you, Matt. Everything's wonderful, and I'm just going to say this right now. Have a safe trip home.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We'll look forward to getting back to St. Louis here sooner than later. Before we get to the winter meetings, I just read your column a few moments ago over at STL Sports Central, and the big news of the day in St. Louis is Joe Buck being chosen for the Ford Frick Award. He's being inducted into the broadcaster's wing of the Baseball Hall of Fame. He means so much to so many people in St. Louis. I was actually talking to Benjamin Hockman about this, and he quoted me in a column that ran over at STL Today about it. But it's just, I think everybody in St. Louis can be so happy today for a guy like Joe Buck, who is incredibly, incredibly talented, so deserving of this honor, and has always represented St. Louis in the best possible way.
I have so much admiration for Joe. I've known him for a long time, since he was a teenager, as I mentioned in the column, but I have so much respect for him because let's go back to when he broke into broadcasting. I remember it well. You know, his the immortal Jack Buck basically walked out of the booth and told Joe take over on the radio. And Joe was very young. And, you know, even though he had done a lot of reps on his own, I mean, he basically had no live broadcast experience, certainly not Major League Baseball. But, you know, Jack kind of put him in there. And, you know, it's like, hey, throw him in the pool and see if he can swim. And Joe proved to be an excellent swimmer. But at that time, Matt, I don't have to tell you this. I mean, people were just going nuts, and they were, you know, they're ripping Joe and said, oh, man, it must be nice to have a father who, you know, gives you a broadcast job and everything else. And I always felt bad for Joe because I know how hard Joe was working on this. And I also knew that he was a really smart guy and he loved the game of St. Louis. But people were really cruel to him. And basically for the first few years of his career, it's like, well, this guy, man, you know, he got the free pass. He got the ticket. It's all because of his father. And, you know, maybe that was true in terms of the way Joe got the job. But let me, like I said in my column, though, if you stink, if you're a failure, if you're no good, it's going to be an embarrassment to you and the family. And everyone's just going to say, just get out. You know, you had the opportunity of a lifetime and you weren't good enough for it. And just go away. I mean, people were incredibly cruel, but you know what? Can you imagine what it was like to you know, be Jack Buck's son? And, you know, you have to not only live up to the name, you not only have to live up to the opportunity that you got, but you have to, and you know, you have to live up to his career the best you can. And I can't even comprehend the possibility of any son of one of the all-time great broadcasters in baseball and even NFL history could have done a better job than Joe Buck. I mean, he is his father's son in every way, and his career is extraordinary. And they're both in two Hall of Fames now, basically the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the highest award there for broadcasting, now in Cooperstown, same thing. I don't know. I the pressure that was on him and the stuff he had to listen to, and some of the early stumbles or whatever, I think a lot of people would have cracked. But he proved himself more than I think even friends like me at the time would have predicted. And we thought pretty good about his chances, but he exceeded that. I mean, it's really a great story, and he's a St. Louis institution like his father, and he's a broadcast legend like his father, and you know, Joe would be the first one to tell us, no, I didn't match my father's career. But I'm telling you, it's pretty dang close. I don't know what else more he could have done. So I'm really happy for Joe.
Yeah, he's still got some. He's still got a fair amount of time left in that career as well. Yeah. We could talk forever about Joe Buck, but before we get out of here, I do want to mention a lot of Cardinals fans are struggling with the fact that the Cardinals did not pull off a trade. I can repeat over and over and over, hey, what? You know, it takes two to tango, and there just was zero trade market in Major League Baseball, and the last thing you want to do is force a trade because then you're probably not getting a good return. But there does seem to be some consternation from Cardinals fans right now that the roster basically looks the same now outside of a Rule 5 pick.
Oh, that's interesting. Here comes some sarcasm. I didn't realize that spring training opened this weekend. That's interesting. So the offseason's basically over, huh? Wow. They really changed that schedule.
Yes.
Yeah. This is ridiculous, and once again, it proves there's too many Cardinals fans that don't even know what a rebuild is. When you're Heim Bloom and you, you've got four, five, maybe six players that you know you're taking offers on, what do you expect him to rush into these deals just to show that, oh, look at me, I made a trade? How stupid is that? Seriously, wouldn't you rather prefer that he gets every offer that he can get, try to squeeze more out of teams, take his time, be methodical, have many more conversations, put some pressure on teams, and get a better deal for some of these players? But no, we want Heim Bloom to win the social media battle rather than the actual roster battle. Incredibly stupid. Sorry to be so mean.
No, I feel the same way. I've actually been really I generally am pretty good at not getting frustrated, but I've been frustrated by the reaction lately because literally there's no difference between making a trade on December 10th and February 10th. I mean, he's got tons of time to get stuff done. And Bernie, if he doesn't get stuff done, we can loop back around and we can criticize at that point and it would be valid. And also, nothing else is happening. If the trade market was going crazy right now and he was standing on the sideline, that'd be one thing, but trades simply are not happening right now in Major League Baseball.
No, it's free agent signings. And if all the reports are true, and I trust Derek Gould and some others, you know, he might have, for example, a dozen teams interested in Brendan Donovan. Well, I know it's impossible, but put yourself in his position. Don't you want to take your time seeing what develops with all these teams coming for your guy? Don't you want to be fully prepared? Don't you want to vet every offer? Don't you want to get the advice of your team, talking about all the people that he's brought in? Like, why would anyone expect, like, when he's got a couple players, maybe more than a couple, that 10, 12, 15 teams want, why would anyone of sound mind think that this would happen in, like, 38, 36 hours or something? It makes no sense.
Yeah, and I thought maybe a deal would get done here at the winter meetings. It didn't happen. I'm not overly worried about it. Last thing for you, we've only got a couple minutes or so left,
sure.
Bernie. But you and I were texting about it a bit earlier today. The revelation from Heim yesterday that essentially the Cardinals didn't have much of a curriculum for catchers in the minor leagues. And now not only are they trying to catch up right now with minor league catchers, but they're talking about running Ivan Herrera through that curriculum and running other big league guys through the curriculum. Like, what's your takeaway from that disclosure yesterday?
Well, I appreciate Heim Bloom's candor, but I also thought, man, we knew this was bad. We knew that their failure to give prospects what they needed to be totally prepared for the big leagues. We knew that they were failing on that end. I would say that it's even worse than I imagined. And I think Heim Bloom, he didn't want to disparage anybody or anything, but I think he wanted to let people know the depth of the kind of work that needs to be done, even for someone like Ivan Herrera, who's been in pro ball for a while, where he still basically has never been taught at an expert level how to catch. I mean, yeah. Are you serious? I mean, and for every Ivan Herrera, now we know his story, how many other prospects were basically neglected instead of taught at a high level to prepare them for the big leagues? It's kind of startling, and it's also kind of sad.
I'm kind of surprised it hasn't been a bigger deal locally. Like it to me, my jaw just dropped as I was sitting in there and listening to him say that.
Yeah, and you know, he said some things I mentioned to you in our text And I'm probably overly interpreting it. He said some things about Tink Hentz, the pitching prospect, that caught my ear a little bit. Because I don't ever recall. I know stories have been, and reports have been made about, well, Tink Hentz, he gets hurt a lot. But, and this isn't a knock on reporting. I'm just saying there was never any conversation about, okay, here's what they're going to do to try to prevent injuries, to try to get him stronger and healthier and more durable. Never heard that. All these injuries he's had, at no point did I ever hear of an organizational plan to help him stay healthy. And now Chaim Bloom revealed, they've got him on a training program and they're going to do this, they're going to do that, they're going to do this. And I'm thinking, this kid probably never even got this kind of thing before. So people want to know why the DeWitts were ready to rebuild the farm system and redo the whole player development system. I mean, are people starting to get it now? I mean,
yeah, I hope
absurd.
So.
It's absurd.
Yeah, I hope so for sure. Bernie, we always enjoy these conversations with you. And, of course, before we let you go, we'd like to hear a little bit about our friends over at Saliga.
And, by the way, I apologize for being a little nasty. One of those days. I guess I'm really grumpy today. Anyway, Saliga Heating and Cooling is a Daikin Comfort dealer. Has been taking care of St. Louis since 1927, taking care of our family for 18 years. And all I can tell you is this. They check every box. I mean, they've had a report card to be straight A's, and they have saved us so much money over the years with the being honest when they come in to assess what's wrong with heating and cooling and a couple other things. They believe that they have to earn your trust and earn your business every time that they do business with you. So they treat you great, and they never try to hustle you, talk you into stuff. They'll look for the less expensive solutions. They'll explain everything. They'll answer any question you have. They're really a pleasure to deal with, even at a time where you're kind of stressed out because you're not sure what kind of repair you're looking at. So I highly recommend them. And if you want to find out more, including about their maintenance club called the Priority Club, a maintenance plan will save you money and extend the life of your equipment, just go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com. They're the best.
Back at it. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX from baseball's winter meetings in Orlando. I'm going to pull back the curtain just a bit for you. As we have been here in Orlando, many of the interviews that you have heard on this show have been interviews that are recorded during the day. There's a lot of people here, a lot of moving parts, people going around all over the place, and sometimes you grab people just whenever you are able to grab them. Now, if I get somebody during the day and then something happens, and all of a sudden the interview isn't quite as relevant or something's incorrect, I'll try to go in and maybe delete something out or fix it, whatever it might be. But I'm not going to do that on this interview. We talked to Robert Murray, and I'm leaving it as is because I think it kind of gives a good feeling of the winter meetings. Murray is a baseball insider. He's had him on the show before. As we are doing the interview, the Pete Alonso news breaks. So as we start, we're talking like Pete Alonso isn't signed, and then the news breaks. But just the way that happens in the moment, I thought that was good, and I thought that gave kind of a sense of the winter meetings. So I just wanted to give a bit of a disclaimer on what you were going to be hearing coming up. But that's the way things go here at the winter meetings. Very happy to welcome on right now. He is Robert Murray. You follow him on Twitter at @ByRobertMurray, part of the Baseball Insiders podcast. Also writes over at FanSided. Robert, great to see you. How are you?
I'm great. Nice memory on that one. I appreciate that.
I did not have anything in front of me when I did that.
No, that was impressive.
Okay, there you go. We've had you on a few times for sure. What's your general takeaway? It's been slow winter meetings. The Schwarber deal got done. Diaz, Matz, Finnegan, that's everything I can think of off the top of my head. Kind of a slow-moving 3 days.
It's been a very slow-moving 3 days. And the first day that I was here, and I mean that we were all here, it was really slow.
Yeah.
Like it felt like this could end up being one of the biggest snooze fests of all the winter meetings that we've been at. But then late that night, I found out that Schwarber was probably happening either that night or early the next day. And every indication was that it was going to be Philadelphia. They ended up getting him back. And from an offensive perspective, in either free agency or through trade, that immediately picked things up. Like, things ever since then have been more active. It hasn't led to deals, although I wouldn't be surprised if there's at least one that pops up either today or tomorrow. But the offensive bat market has definitely moved and picked up pace for sure. Pitching market's still slow. Like, the starting pitching market's slow. Relief market's moving for sure. But as far as the winter meetings go, this was probably one of the more quiet ones in recent memory.
Does Schwarber signing, I'm thinking specifically about Baltimore because they reportedly were in on him. They're also reportedly in on Alonso. Does that put pressure on them to maybe try to go harder after Alonso?
I think it puts pressure on them to spend for sure. They definitely need to go out and make some sort of move. But to me, that would probably lean toward pitching. Mm-hmm. And that's the area that I've heard them most connected at. It's either been Ranger Suarez in free agency or through trade. You can talk about a Mackenzie Gore type or even a Freddy Peralta type as well. So I expect them to be more focused on the pitching market more so than offense. I think Schwarber was just such a unique opportunity where they had front office that was convicted on him, ownership was convicted. They tried. They really wanted Schwarber. Like, they were very disappointed they didn't end up getting him. But I'm pretty convicted they will spend.
A lot has been made of the Pittsburgh offer
Alonso just signed with the Orioles.
Oh, wow. How about that?
There we go. How about that for timing?
So
5 years for $155 million.
Okay, so he gets just a little bit more than Schwarber got.
Yeah, that's crazy. I was funny. Before I walked over here, I saw Heyman, and like he got a call, and I saw him like kind of panic. And I'm like, oh, boy, that might be a big move. So clearly the Orioles wanted to make a splash, and they ended up doing so. So I would imagine they're still going to end up being in the pitching market there for sure.
So with that being said, it does feel like maybe the Schwarber thing pushed Baltimore towards Alonso.
No, it absolutely did. I mean, I thought their focus was going to be on pitching for sure, but clearly you had the right idea there. But getting Alonso is a huge move for them.
Yeah.
They were absolutely, as I said, they were convicted on Schwarber. They wanted to add a bat, but I did not think it was going to end up being Alonso. I thought if there was going to be anything, it could be like a Bo Bichette type or someone along those lines. But clearly they wanted him. And now, I mean, shoot, that's another big splash here at the winter meeting. So yeah, that's crazy.
That may be the final thing that goes down here. We'll see.
Maybe, I think there's going to be another one that comes
down.
Yeah.
All right. With the Cardinals, what names are you hearing? It doesn't seem like anything's likely to get done with the Cardinals before this all wraps up. But who are the names that you think are likely to get moved maybe in the next couple weeks?
I would say a couple weeks is tough. I would say I'm just going to go from this offseason standpoint. Brendan Donovan, he is someone who is extremely coveted around baseball. Like, we've heard of the Astros, the Dodgers. I mean, a bunch of different people connected to Donovan. I expect there to be more teams involved in that. I would look at a guy like Nolan Arenado. I think this could end up being the offseason where they really end up trying to move him and get that finally done. It seems like he's more open to waiving that no trade clause more so than he was in previous seasons as well. I would also look at, I mean, shoot, we saw them move Sonny Gray before. If you move Gray and you are open to moving some of those other guys, to me, there can't really be that many untouchables. The other one, to me, would be Wilson Contreras.
Sure.
I think that's another one that makes a ton of sense. And if they do that, they obviously have the catching internally to go out and to replace him, but I wouldn't be surprised if they made an addition, maybe like a low-impact move, if they end up moving in Contreras.
Does the market have to pick up? Because right now, trades just are not happening right now. And a lot of Cardinals fans are frustrated not hearing trades when those names you mentioned and other names have been reportedly out there. We make so much of the winter meetings and then nothing happens. Is it a situation where the rest of the market has to pick up for probably the Cardinals to be able to start moving those guys?
Oh, for sure. Because, I mean, right now there's a ton of talks happening. Like, that's something I hear from every team involved. But the prices are just at a point where they're not willing to move on it. And yeah, like, to me, it's going to take some time for the market to move, but I would expect the trade market and even free agency to really pick up, I'd say, in the next 2 weeks. That's something I've heard from prominent people around the game, is that the market's probably going to start moving then.
Okay, I know this is a really tough question because I'm trying to put broad strokes on a situation where there's a bunch of different individual things, but who falls first on this in terms of, do teams lower their price that are selling, or do teams that are buying raise offers? Which way do you think the market's going to go?
I would say it's usually, I think it might be a mix of both, but it'll typically be prices coming down. And all of a sudden, like, if you see an Alonso type, if you see a Schwarber type come off the market, then to me, you can end up seeing at least a team or two panic and try to end up making a move, whether it's through trade or through free agency. But I would expect that to end up being an indication where a situation where the market ends up coming down, or the prices start coming down, and then that's when the moves start to happen. So it could lead to a pretty slow offseason, but again, from what I've heard from some pretty prominent people here, is that the next 2 weeks are probably going to be the most active of the entire offseason.
Do you feel like the looming CBA is having any impact on the market right now?
I mean, some, but I don't think it's necessarily – I mean, it's the long-term guys. I think that's going to end up really impacting. But as far as the short-term contracts, I don't think that's going to be having a huge impact there. So it's something that's on the mind of every team involved here for sure, and especially with the way that they're going to be structuring contracts for money next season. But other than that, I don't see it impacting it too much.
Robert Marie, we need to get you over here because every time you come over here, a deal's going to get done. Right?
Yeah, that's crazy. I got some calls to make here for sure. That's crazy.
Well, we will let you go for sure. Thank you so much for your time.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
That is Robert Murray, Fan-Sided Baseball Insiders Podcast. We've got more coming up from Orlando on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
It's Great Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Very happy to welcome on the program. He's a former big leaguer. He had a really big moment in the World Series. He's also a former Stan Musial Award winner. He is Brett Phillips. Brett, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, I appreciate any chance I can get to talk with someone from St. Louis. I want to take the opportunity, especially that ballpark is amazing. The fans are awesome in St. Louis. And, you know, the first time in my career where I've ever seen an opposing team cheer for a good play, just a great play, was in St. Louis. You know, St. Louis fans, I feel like, are some of the classiest. Back to what I was saying, any chance we get to talk, take advantage.
You and I were talking yesterday, and you were a Stan Musial Award winner, and you told me that that presentation that night was almost a life-changing event for you.
Yes, it was. So, Chloe, who was 8 years old at the time, she was battling cancer for the second time in her life, and she had picked me as her favorite player when I was playing with Tampa Bay. She got to throw out the first pitch to me, and, you know, it was special. She really put my life in perspective, especially at a time when I was really struggling in my career when it came to statistics. And, you know, here we have an 8-year-old girl who's battling cancer, but she can show up with a smile on her face and full of joy, and you know, that gave me no excuse. And so what ended up happening was she was being interviewed during the game. You know, Brett Phillips is my favorite player. He's got a great smile. He likes to do the airplane. And I end up hitting – I'm up to bat, and I hit a homer, furthest ball of my career at the same time. And, man, it was just a special moment after the game. We ended up getting the ball and bringing it to her and just kind of encouraging her and motivating her to continue to just be who she was. And we ended up being presented the Stan Musial Award after the season, which was super special. It's probably the greatest moment of my career. I know I've had the moment in the World Series, which was really fun, but this just meant more than baseball, and it meant something more than myself, that I was able to give that moment to a girl in need. And she was able to give, you know, she'll always have a way more impact on me than I did on her. And yeah, so that was incredible.
It says so much about you that, because you're known for the walk-off hit against the Dodgers in the World Series, the crazy play, the ball getting away at home plate, and the run scoring. You're known so much for that play, yet you talk about a moment like that being the real biggest moment of your career.
Yeah, you know, again, like I said, it was more than baseball, and it came at a time where maybe I was looking a little too much inward and kind of my failures they seem to be magnified. And then a little girl who's battling cancer for the second time comes, and she's got a smile on her face, and she's full of joy. Like, there was no reason for me not to mirror that in my struggles that were nowhere even close to what she was going through. And it really gave me perspective and opened my eyes to how I need to continue to live my life on a daily basis.
We're talking with former big leaguer Brett Phillips. You recently announced your retirement. What's next for you? I know you're here at the winter meetings trying to figure that out a little bit.
Yeah, just pursuing all facets of the game where I believe I could bring value, but ultimately hoping to pursue something with the Tampa Bay Rays. What that looks like, we don't know, but I definitely want to be on the fan engagement side of things, business operations, and hopefully we can get something figured out, because born and raised in St. Pete, had a chance to play for the Rays. Quick story, my grandma took me to the first Fan Fest in 1998 when the Rays expanded. I was 4 years old. And ever since then, I loved the Rays and I wanted to play for them. And those dreams came true. So how can I share those experiences to other fans and families who live in the area to say, hey, like, this can happen. Like, you don't know how much of an impact just showing up to a stadium, a big league stadium, can do for, you know, the people around you that you're given that opportunity to.
We first crossed paths in Milwaukee when I was doing stuff with the Brewers and you were playing with the team. You've always been, I remember one time Council's talking in the dugout and you're hiding underneath the thing. I mean, you've always been a guy that's found a way to have fun. I will go with that.
Yeah, out of control. You know, I don't know. I didn't grow up with a professional baseball player that I could get information from to show me the ropes. You know, a lot of players, they have pedigree or their father's played, or, you know, I didn't have that, and I always played baseball because it was really fun and I was good at it. So then as I continued my career, this, what you saw is what you got, and what I was thinking probably wasn't the right way of going about it in other people's eyes, but I had a blast doing it. And so, yeah, I don't know what, sometimes things come over me or I'm like, I'm gonna go hide under a bench and mess with Council. I don't know what's gonna come from that, but it was fun, you know.
Well, baseball is a better game when you are involved with it. So best of luck moving forward. It's great to catch up a little bit.
Great talking with you, Matt. Take care.
That is Brett Phillips. We'll take a break. Have more in just a moment. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We're into hour number two of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. One more hour to go from baseball's winter meetings in Orlando. And then coming up tomorrow, we will have the initial countdown to opening day show here on KMOX and also across the Cardinals Radio Network. We've done this just about this time every day this week. Each day we've gotten the opportunity to talk with Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, Chaim Bloom. And we like to be able to bring back some of what he had to say. So as the winter meetings wrapped up earlier today and the Cardinals leave without pulling off a trade, Chaim said essentially that the Cardinals did not get any closer to any deals today.
Pretty similar vibe to the last couple days, just ongoing conversations. All the planes are still in the air right now. Some Rule 5 talk as part of our day, just working through different possibilities, both the major and the minor league side. Happy with the work that our crew put into that. We'll see. We'll be in transit for some of it, but there's still plenty of day left.
As we have talked about, it was the Rule 5 draft today, and the Cardinals, again, we've mentioned this a fair amount today, but the Cardinals do go out and make a selection as they bring in somebody who projects out to be a relief pitcher with this team in Matthew Pushard from the Miami Marlins organization. You look at his minor league numbers, has good swing and miss, also somebody who can throw multiple innings, and that seems to be the big thing right now, that Chaim is very concerned about having a young starting rotation. So the idea is to build a bullpen that has multiple guys that can go multiple innings just to relieve some of the pressure on starting pitching and on the bullpen as well, for that matter. So Pushard seems to fit the profile of somebody who can give you more than three innings on any given night. And Bloom did say that he's looking for a bullpen with guys who can throw multiple innings.
You have to do that because especially when you have some less experienced starters that you're going to try to support. You can't just have one inning guys out there. And, you know, especially when you're looking at someone in the Rule 5, that you need to, if you're going to put them on your team, you need to feel committed to at least trying to keep them. And it's easier to do that if you have someone who can go multiple ups and just gives the staff more options to be able to use a player.
There was a lot of bullpen talk today with Chaim, just because we got a new relief pitcher coming into the organization. One area that the team doesn't have a whole lot of right now and could have even less of here at some point in the near future is veterans. Jojo Romero is kind of that veteran guy right now, but he continues to be very much connected to trade talk. But Bloom does believe that there is a need for veterans in the bullpen.
To me, it is not so much about losing at the end, although obviously you don't want that, as much as it is having people that can show younger players the ropes. Mm-hmm. We've had that the last couple of years. We've had really good, not just on-field results, but really good mentorship last year provided by Phil and before that with Kit. I've seen the value of that in my other stops as well. Mm-hmm. It's hard to always know in advance where that's going to come from, but obviously it's hard for it to come from people who don't have enough under them to be really comfortable in helping others. So definitely something that's on our mind, not just with the guys that we have, but also as we go through the winter, looking to round out that bullpen, definitely something that's going to be on our mind.
So again, this kind of all comes back to Jojo Romero. We'll see what the roster ends up looking like, but when it comes to bringing in a veteran reliever, they could be in the market for a righty or a lefty, depending on what the roster might look like.
We're not going to discriminate in terms of handedness when it comes to, you know, both talent and then the ability to lead guys, especially with a lot of younger pitchers. Sometimes those guys are getting their feet wet in the pen. That can be really helpful, but you want someone that can help show them the ropes.
And again, that is somewhat connected to Romero. If somehow, some way, Romero does not get traded, he's certainly somebody who checks a lot of those boxes that were just mentioned.
You look at the progression of JoJo's career, and you know he at one point was that guy trying to find his footing and figure it out. And you could see year over year as he does that, not only is there more, you know, trust and reliability there from the standpoint of the staff using him, but also it's something other players can feed off of.
And this was kind of funny from Bloom today. If you remember, if you were listening around this time yesterday, you may have heard his comments about Brendan Donovan being very popular. And generally, he doesn't really comment on players and trade talks and things like that, but he went on the MLB Network stage and he mentioned something. So then he mentioned something to us that Brendan Donovan was very popular. So today he was asked the question about the popularity, and of course, this is connected to trade talks. marks the popularity of JoJo Romero.
I wish I hadn't opened the door on assessing the relative popularity of our players yesterday. You know, I promised you guys candor, and then I walked out of there. I'm like, this isn't the best precedent to be setting. I'm not going to start power ranking our players in terms of the number of incoming calls.
That would be really fun.
JoJo's pretty—he's pretty talented. We're really happy we have him.
Certainly a fun moment there from Heim Bloom. All right, let's jump to a few other things. He also mentioned yesterday about the core of players, and I think we can all sit here and say somebody like Mason Winn is part of your core, right? That's going to be somebody who you're going to be able to move forward with, and you hope that when you're back to a competitive window, a more competitive window, that Winn is still around. But when talking about identifying those, you know, quote-unquote core players, he really didn't want to do that. He said players can be part of that core moving forward. They can be acquired from the outside, but they can also be developed from the current group.
I would never sit here and say, you know, this player is, this player isn't. I just don't think it is productive for us to think that way. And also, the game is harder than that. It's more humbling than that. And if you try to ever draw those lines, you will get proved wrong. Players will surprise you. They'll surprise you positively. Sometimes they'll surprise you negatively. I think our job as an organization is to do everything we can to expose ourselves to those positive surprises by doing the right things by players to help them improve, give them a chance to get better, give them a chance to realize their upside. So for me, it's really just looking up and down the organization, whether it's from the big leagues all the way down to the DSL, and see the potential that we have in players to grow into players that can be part of that. And I do think we have a lot of that potential in the system. But obviously, like I said yesterday, we don't have enough of it on our major league field right now, or the results of recent years would have been different. So that's our job, is to keep adding to it, whether that's by bringing in talent through the amateur systems, developing players, or going out and hunting it in trades and on the free agent market.
When it comes to acquiring, they are the new word for rebuild is talent acquisition mode, and that's what they are in right now. They are looking to acquire talent. I thought this was interesting because sometimes you think about it in terms of you're trying to acquire talent so you can contend in 2027, or you're trying to acquire talent so you can contend in 2028, whatever it might be. I made it really clear. The goal is just to bring in more talent to the organization. It's not about acquiring talent with an idea that they're going to be ready for the roster at a certain date.
It's not a timing thing for me. Okay. Of course, I want to be mindful of that when we target players, that they're guys that fit us. Mm-hmm. But if you try to get too cute and time everything up, you may lose something in trying to do that. And of course, our ultimate goal is to get to the place where we're not thinking in terms of windows, because we're able to consistently replenish a championship caliber team. I just look at it as, you know, we have a lot of talented players, and what is it going to take to push this group up the mountain to get to the top, and feeling urgency to do that, just because we are not where we want to be.
And then the final thing, and I think this is a good way to sort of end our daily sessions with Heim, and we won't hear him talk in all likelihood to the overall media again until winter warm-up. Of course, you'll be able to hear him every Sunday morning right here on KMOX with Tom Ackerman and Sports on a Sunday morning. But those big media sessions are not something that he's going to be doing here moving forward. So let's give some positivity about this team and where it could be moving forward. And we'll start with a couple guys who, the way they play in the field, bring a lot of excitement. With Mason Winn at shortstop and Victor Scott the second out in center field, with those two guys on the team, Heim says it can be a very fun, very exciting team.
Anybody who's paid any attention to our club over the past year plus has seen this. It's, you know, both guys have elite physical ability, and it's not just pretty to watch, which it is, but it also helps us win games. And that's always been a part of, you know, this organization's brand. It's something that it doesn't necessarily show up in the box score, but if you watch the games, you know that it matters, and it's a way to help your team and support your pitchers. It's not the only thing that matters. Obviously, offense matters too. There's a lot of things that matter, including, you know, intangibles, leadership. It all does, but usually those things is when you have good defense, it kind of compounds. You know, pitchers are able to go a little deeper. That takes pressure off the bullpen, some of the stuff that we were talking about earlier. So it's definitely something that we focus on, try to value it appropriately, but value it a lot.
But it can't just be those two single individuals as the reason that fans come out. And obviously the organization would like for ticket sales to go up and for more people to come to Busch Stadium this upcoming season. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. It doesn't feel like they've done a whole lot quite yet to be able to really sell that idea. But Heim did give his pitch to fans on why they should support this team this upcoming season, even at a time where we don't really know what that team is going to look like.
I have thought about that some because obviously, as you can tell, like I've thought it's very important to be incredibly clear and open about what we're trying to do and why. And I understand when you do that and when you talk about when necessary, prioritizing the long term, that you know the question you ask is going to come up, and I think it's a good question. Here's what it is for me. Like, first of all, I think we have a really, really good fan base that is locked in on this team. They're smart, and the worst thing we could do would be to be unclear with them about what we're trying to do. We're trying to deceive people. That's not going to help. The other thing that I believe, and that this has been strengthened by the chance that I've had the last year plus to really be around this organization, be around this fan base, I understand there, you know, people, you know, maybe one year they come to the ballpark, another year they don't come to the ballpark. But caring about this team, being a fan of this team, loving this organization, there is not an on-off switch that Cardinals fans have for that. They are in this. Like, our duty is to them to match that with what I've talked about, match that every day how we go about our work, to bring a work product, even if it's a nondescript day at the office, to get after it on that day in a way that they deserve as our fans. So if we're honest about those things, they are in this regardless. I think that is, you know, I hope I'm right, that that's something that in itself is something that our fans want. They're going to follow this no matter what. If we have something that maybe a longer-term goal, I'd rather be open with them about it. I still think we're going to be really exciting along the way. And like I said, we're not conceding anything in terms of what we're going to be aiming for every day. But because I believe that fandom is not something that turns on and off, I'd rather just be really clear, really purposeful on what we're trying to do, and trust that our fan base is going to be there.
And then the final thing from Bloom, and I think you look at this past season, if things would have gone a little bit differently, the Cardinals could have very much been right there in playoff contention. They could have been the team, not the Cincinnati Reds, that snuck into the playoffs when the New York Mets faltered down the stretch. Could that be the case again this upcoming season? Could they be a team that flirts with 500? Could they be a team that flirts with playoff contention and doing all of that? It certainly is a possibility, and Bloom is leaving open that possibility. But the idea of just sneaking into the playoffs next season, that's never going to be the ultimate goal.
Sometimes I've had experiences like this where that happens, not in spite of focusing on the right long-term things, but in some ways because you focus on the right long-term things. When the plan makes sense, sometimes it has a chance to be accelerated if it fits together. The key for me is not selling out what we're trying to accomplish to chase that in the short term.
That is Heim Bloom, the Cardinals president of baseball operations, and a lot of appreciation going out to him for his time, his candor, his willingness to answer questions over these few days. There's a lot going on, and he found time for us in the media on an everyday basis, and that was certainly something that was appreciated, and hopefully you were able to appreciate being able to hear from him on an everyday basis as well. We'll take a break. We've got a lot more still coming up. Don't go anywhere. You are locked into a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you. at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX as we broadcast from baseball's winter meetings in Orlando. One of my favorite people to be able to talk to, and I talk to him every single year, and he's involved in an organization that I just really respect what they do for so many reasons. His name is Kemp Golden. He is the founder of Because Baseball. Because Baseball takes the game of baseball to African countries, to Egypt, and it's amazing to see you, Kemp. How are you?
Matt, it's great to be here, and I'm so grateful to be here with you again. It is a highlight of winter meetings to get to sit down with you and catch up and just share a little bit with your listeners about what we're doing over in Egypt.
So I'm sure there's people listening right now that have not heard our conversations over the last couple of years. Give a background on the organization Because Baseball and what you guys do.
Yeah, Matt, it's pretty simple. We use baseball to bring people together. And what we're doing in Egypt is bringing kids all around this sport, or all around Egypt, around the sport of baseball. We have girls and boys. We have kids from all social strata. We have orphans playing together. We work with special needs kids, have a special partnership with the Special Olympics. And we bring them all around the game of baseball and just let them become friends, using baseball as a common language, as a bridge builder. And we take over American coaches, and they work with these kids. And so we're bringing people together at three different levels. At the family level, because we also teach the parents this great game, because there's nothing more beautiful than playing with your mom and dad the game of baseball. We bring together communities, and as I mentioned, all levels of social strata in Egypt. And then culturally, we bring together East and West, Americans and Egyptian, around this great game, and the friendships that result are just absolutely beautiful.
It's a game that doesn't really exist over there that much. Now, the internet exists, so people can go on YouTube and see it, but I have to imagine that for many times these kids are throwing a baseball, catching a baseball, putting on a glove for the first time ever.
You're right, and it's funny you mention the internet and YouTube, because for many of these children, that is the only exposure they've had to the game. And so that classic pitching and catching, the shaking off of signs, right? They've seen all that. They ask, what are the fingers for, the numbers? And so they've seen that, and they have that high drama understanding of the pitcher, catcher, pitcher, batter showdown. But outside of that, it's a new game for them. But the reality is these are kids. Kids are kids wherever they are in the world, and they have a real eagerness to learn something new. And for a lot of these kids, for whom soccer has been the only sport they've actually played, this is offering a whole new skill set for them to lean into. And really, in our opinion, you know, every kid is created in a way that is different, right? All of us have different giftings, have different abilities, and to be able to offer kids a chance to discover that hand-eye coordination in a new game is really exciting to see kids lean into it and have so much joy in the sport of baseball.
What do the parents think? Because I got to think for many of them, it's brand new as well, and they may even be less familiar with the game.
Yeah, it's funny because if they've been exposed to it similarly, it would have been on the internet. But by and large, it's more foreign to them than their children. And so, but like any good parent, you want to embrace what your kids love. So outside of having children, they may never have been interested in baseball. But when they see their children having fun, when we involve the parents, when they get to play catch with their sons and daughters, something awakens in them. I think the same thing that awakens in families here in the United States when we play the game of baseball. And so they're excited to become a part of it.
Why? I guess that's the big taking baseball to Egypt. It's cool, it's fun, but it's a heavy undertaking for you. So what's your why?
Well, it's funny. I had a very Field of Dreams moment in 2015, Matt, where a voice said, "Bring baseball to Egypt," and that I really leaned into that. And I did have questions, and some of my friends had questions. You know, am I going crazy? And I think that was a legitimate question when the idea struck. But when I did a little research, I discovered that there had been a history of baseball in Egypt, which was really fun. And even so, in ancient pictures on the walls of ancient temples, there is a pharaoh holding a bat and ball. This is from, 400 BC. So, hey, I mean, no disrespect to Abner Doubleday, but maybe the Egyptians started things out a little bit a few years before him. And then MLB had two trips, 1889 with Albert Spalding, and then 1914 with Comiskey and McGraw, so with the White Sox and Giants. And so there was this ready-made storyline. So the voice wasn't as crazy as I first thought. In fact, it might have just been the next chapter in baseball's story in Egypt.
You have a lot of partners that help you. I've looked at your website, and I see you've got teams like the Giants and the A's and the Nationals who have helped you out. There's different the RBI program with Major League Baseball, various providers of equipment and so forth. What has it been like for you as you've gone on this journey and you've picked up more and more individuals and companies like that who want to support you?
I think it's a confirming piece, right? It's validating that this idea does have legs. And what you just see is people are excited to be a part of the story. They see the pictures of the players by the pyramids. They see the joy on the kids' faces. So what equipment manufacturer doesn't want them to use their glove, right? What team doesn't want their uniform to be displayed by the pyramid? And so if you look at our Instagram, which is just Because Baseball, that's the handle on Instagram, you'll see pictures of various players that have been over, including one of St. Louis's favorite sons, Brian Jordan, who was there at our play ball event in June of 2024. And so that's another thing, right? We've become the sole MLB play ball event on the continent of Africa. And that's in June with play ball weekend. And so each year, with the support of Major League Baseball, we bring over Major League retired players who spend a week in Egypt getting to soak in the culture, and then two nights coaching under the lights at the American University in Cairo. And so last spring, we took, for example, Hunter Pence. So he and his wife, Alexis, came over and had a wonderful time, much like Brian had done the year before. And so each of these players that come over, and by the way, we have other players that come for up to a month as volunteers who used to play in majors. The impact it has on them, the impact they have on the kids, there's just this beautiful synergy that results. And so I see this crazy idea taking on flesh and bones and playing out on the field of play, that connectivity, that joy, that really change that I'd like to see, that friendship building through the game of baseball taking place right there in Cairo, Egypt.
That's a heavy commitment for some of these guys to come over and to come over for an extended amount of time. That's got to be validating to you that what you're doing is the right thing when other people are not just giving you money, not just giving you equipment, but giving you the greatest asset, which is their time.
It's so true, Matt. I mean, that is the one asset that can't be replenished. Time always wins, right? And it is validating. But I think what it also speaks to is the quality of character of a lot of these men in baseball and their families, that they want to give back, that they want to be a part of something greater than themselves. And I think that's been really, for me, exciting to see, because we hear all these stories in the world, right? If you listen to the news, you're going to assume that the world is going to hell in a handbasket, right? I mean, it is bad news after bad news, doom scrolling after doom scrolling. Just really left to our own devices, we would believe that things couldn't be any worse. The reality is there's good news happening. There are great people in the world. And I think elevating them, giving them platforms and the ability to live into our better angels, so to speak, that's exciting to see. And again, like I said, all of these men that have come over are just humans of outstanding character. And I've just been grateful to have them as a part of it. And I know they've been grateful, and they've been changed and inspired along the way as well.
The organization is Because of Baseball. If people are listening to this interview and they want to learn more, maybe they even want to support you in some way, what's the best way to do that?
Great question, Matt, and I appreciate you asking that. As I mentioned earlier, our Instagram page is at Because Baseball, same with Twitter. So you can visit us on social media, check out some beautiful pictures. If you go to our website, www.becausebaseball.org, there's a donate button, and we're able to accept online donations as well. And if you have interest, if you're listening, you think to yourself, you know, I'd love to think about coaching over there. I'd love to be a part of that. I'd love to be a part of Play Ball Weekend. We do take a large group of volunteer coaches over there in June every year, and so there's opportunity to actually get your hands involved in this. Teach the fly balls, teach throwing, teach hitting to these young people. And by the way, have a game of catch at the Pyramids.
Kip Golden, he is the founder of Because Baseball. It's always great to see you. Thanks for taking some time with us today.
Well, thank you, Matt. I appreciate it.
We'll take a break. We've got more coming up. Don't go anywhere. We are in Orlando at baseball's winter meeting. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Sports Open Line here on KMOX from baseball's winter meetings in Orlando. We always love being able to talk to our friend Sam Levitt, does pre and post with the San Diego Padres. Sam, always good to see you. How are you?
Yeah, great to see you, Matt. Always a great time of year here at the winter meetings. I don't know that it's been super eventful for either of our teams, but good to see you and good to see everybody here every year. Great event.
Yeah, so there's rumblings that A.J. Preller wants to have a big trade again. He is a swing big kind of executive. Are you expecting something big at some point?
Yeah, I don't know. Look, there's been a lot of rumblings about them maybe trying to do something big. They're in an interesting situation. I don't think they're in a position where they're looking to spend a ton of money right now with where their payroll is, and their payroll is very high. You know, they've spent a lot of money over the years on a lot of really talented players, but I don't know that they're looking to operate in the higher end of the free agent market as far as the pricing there. So you look at what they need. The Padres, if you want to split it up into bullpen, lineup, and rotation, their bullpen is elite right now. Their lineup is really, really good right now, but they need a lot of help in the starting rotation. They have Nick Pivetta, Joe Musgrove coming off Tommy John surgery, and then after that, you honestly have a lot of question marks. I mean, maybe Randy Vasquez you can pencil in there, who's been a guy that's made a lot of starts for this team the last couple of years. So the question is, how do they find starting pitching if you're not going to add it via free agency? And I think what people are seeing and sensing is that perhaps the answer comes in dealing from positions of strength, right? Could you flip a bullpen arm into another player or prospects that then help you go get more starting pitching? Could you flip somebody in your lineup, like let's say a Jake Cronenworth, who's a good player that's still owed a bit of money? Could you flip him and get something back? So their options with free agency are probably not super, super, super great, which then, you know, lends you to believe that maybe there's a trade to be made. But also keep in mind, A.J. Preller has made a lot of trades. So the minor league system is really not in the same place it's been. Now, one of A.J.'s magic tricks is that you'll look up by the summertime and he'll have a lot of guys there to trade. He does a great job of finding talent and developing the system back up very, very quickly. But right now, I don't know that they have a ton to trade. So it's a bit of a mystery as to how they're going to do this. But again, you know, AJ is always up to something and is never shy to take a big swing and make a big move and make a really splashy trade, however it might look, whether that's, you know, trading away somebody or that's trading for somebody. So we'll see.
You're going to work with a new manager again after the team separates from Mike Schilt. What's the excitement? Is there an excitement level about that?
Yeah, look, I think Craig Stammen is, number one, a great guy. I mean, he's somebody I got to know covering him in 2022, and he's been around the organization as a special assistant the last few years. You know, you spend a couple of minutes with Craig, and you get a sense of who he is and the quality of man he is, and I think that's going to be great for this team. It's an interesting situation. He's a first-year manager. He was teammates with a lot of these guys not that long ago, so it is unique. It is going to be interesting to see how it plays out and develops, and I think he knows that. But I think Craig has all the personality traits and intangibles to be a really, really good major league manager, and he's going to acquire, inherit a really good team. Do they have spots they need to fill? Yes, but this is a team that I expect is going to be in contention in 2026. So I'm excited to see it. He's a really, really good person, good guy, well-liked. I think he comes in, obviously, with a lot of relationships already under his belt. So I'm high on it and excited to see how it works.
I promise I won't go too deep on this, but was there any surprise from you from some of the revelations that came out after Mike Schilt left? You're talking to a lot of Cardinals fans who still have a lot of affection for Schilt.
Yeah, I mean, look, it obviously was surprising. He had years left on his contract. He won 93 games in 90 games. Obviously, the postseason didn't go the way he wanted them to go. But I don't know how you could look at the situation and not be surprised by you know, him deciding to well, at the time it was described as retiring from the Padres. Now, of course, he reportedly took the job, you know, in a front office role, it sounds like, with the Orioles. Look, I'm not going to make it like I know too much about the exit and the circumstance and the wording and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, were we surprised? I certainly was. When it came out, I had no inclination of that. Some of the reporting that came out afterwards, I mean, you know, I don't know. Obviously, there's probably no way escaping that he had success in St. Louis and it ended a little oddly, and he had success in San Diego, and again, it seems to have ended in at least a little bit of a stunning, unusual way. So, you know, look, I enjoyed covering Mike. He obviously has done a good job, whether it was in St. Louis or in San Diego. The results speak for themselves. So it was surprising, but I think from the Padres' standpoint, you now move on, and this is a team that's still, to me, very much in their competitive window with a great core of guys and MVP-caliber talent. So quite frankly, from the Padres' standpoint, I don't think they have time to, you know, to really, like, you know, mess around and, like, worry about it. It's like, all right, what's next, and how are we going to keep this thing rolling?
Sam, thanks so much for your time. Great to see you.
Of course, Matt. My pleasure.
That is Sam Levitt. We'll take a break. We got more coming up. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We're back at it on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Our final night of broadcasting from baseball's winter meetings in Orlando. Although tomorrow during this time, you will hear the initial edition of the Countdown to Opening Day show, which will be coming your way each and every Thursday night here on KMOX from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Speaking of that, I'm always alongside of Mike Claiborne for that show, and he's going to join us for a little while right now. Claibs, good to see you.
Always good to see you, my friend. And, another winter meeting just about over, and you and I will actually clock in and talk some baseball for how many weeks now leading up to opening day?
A bunch.
Yeah, a
but
long
it'll go
time.
Fast. It'll go fast. And sure.
We always, you're right, man. Before you know, we're like, man, this is our last show. But it's good, and because I think this is fun because there's so many things that we're going to learn this year with a new regime, same manager, which I'm glad about. And I'll on the record said, I think one of the first moves Heim Bloom should make is extending the manager, because I think they get along, they understand each other, they know what's needed. But there's a lot of other things that come into play before that with regard to what this team is going to look like. And what it looks like today on a Wednesday compared to what it's going to look like on opening day is going to be different. What it looks like from opening day to 4th of July is going to be different. And what it looks like from the 4th of July to the trade deadline is going to look different. And hopefully when we're at the trade deadline, we're loading up and getting that extra bat or extra arm to get us ready for postseason.
This might actually surprise you, because I am a unabashed supporter of Oliver Marmol. I actually would
You guys are like...
Careful. Careful.
Cub buddies. I mean...
Careful.
Yeah, you guys are like... You guys... So, folks, let me tell you... I want to tell you a quick story about last year. We had spring training. And there was a writer who was leaving early. And he was... we were all together, and Ollie's sitting there. And so he said, hey, this is my last day. I'm going back to St. Louis. So I says, you taking anybody else with you? In a jokingly manner. And so this person says, well, now that we're laughing, I'm going to take Paulie back. And I said, Paulie stays. Everybody else can go. So you know Ollie as well as anyone, and what a graceful person he is. And he's one of the fun reasons why we come to the ballpark. Now, does he make a mistake from time to time? Yeah, but who doesn't? I always felt, and I said it this year, Matt, watching postseason, I was saying to myself, man, if Ollie ever had enough good players, he'd be dangerous at this time of the year. Because watching him push buttons when he might be a little short in this area and that area, and then I look at a Davey Roberts who has a lot of things at his disposal, you know, I'd put Ollie in a room with any of those guys if he has enough personnel to make this work.
Yeah, I think he's really smart, and I like him as a manager. I'd pump the brakes on giving the extension right now for two reasons. One, I want him and Heim to work together in the manager president of baseball operations dynamic for just a little while. They haven't done that yet. And also, I think the messaging about this team right now, I don't want it to get muddled into a message of an extension for the manager. There's a lot of other things to focus on right now. The messaging, I think, I want the focus for fans to hear is the young guys coming forward and things like that. I'm a messaging guy, so that's part of it.
Yeah, but, you know, I think it quells the issue of you don't want your guy being a lame duck either. There's a time and place for it. And, you know, you can make that announcement in spring training, you know. But I think to let everybody know this is our guy, he's going to be here for a bit compared to shopping his job and everybody else wondering, you know, is this a job for somebody else? So let's get that out of the way and have some unification from the top to say this is our guy and we're going to give him every opportunity to earn and keeping his job from now on or for a longer period of time.
There are fans that are frustrated by the lack of activity. There are fans that I think thought that these winter meetings were going to take place and we were going to walk out and Brendan Donovan and Wilson Contreras and JoJo Romero and Nolan Gorman and Lars Nootbaar and Nolan Arenado were all going to be gone. That was never the case. And I get it. It's the winter meetings. We talk it up. We talk so much about all the activity the Cardinals are going to make. But at the end of the day, it doesn't actually matter if a player gets traded
tomorrow.
On December 10th or if they get traded on January 10th or even February 10th. It's all the same.
It's more for fan appeal. They want to have something to talk about. You know, I'm one of those guys who like to have things set when you get to Florida and you know what you're looking for and you know what you have and you're going to know what you're going to need. But I think it's more for fans to be able to have something to talk about because you're around and people say, well, what are the Cardinals going to do? You know, I don't know. I know they're going to be better. They're going to work at being better than they were last year. Now, what does that look like? I don't know. I'll have to wait and see like everybody else. And, you know, they've had time to think about this, okay? This is not something that's been thrown in their lap the last minute. I mean, they were planning on what this looks like last year. And how they grow it from here is what we're all anxious to see.
I feel like people are connecting the word patience to the Cardinals, and I feel like that's actually messaging that's gone away a little bit. As it's, yeah, there's a long-term aspect to this, but as Heim likes to say, they're not conceding anything for this upcoming season.
They're not tanking it.
Yeah.
They're not rolling over playing, you know, saying uncle, because as bad as you can be, as we learn, you know, just because you're bad doesn't mean you're going to get the first pick in the draft, and that first pick in the draft can't help you right now. So let's play this thing out and not get caught up in anything. And, you know, I personally think they can be better. And in this division that they're in, I mean, you and I were here last year, and nobody thought the Milwaukee Brewers were going to do what they did. I thought it was going to be Cardinals, Cubs, and Cincinnati.
Well, Klaibs, this is a great time. We'll do the countdown show coming up tomorrow.
Cannot wait. And you and me, we'll get to knowing each other again because we have a lot of games coming up and down the road, and we'll have some fun with it. I just saw Adam Jones, one of the great players in the game that nobody ever talks about. So I'm going to hang out with some of my crew.
This
is a fun thing about this thing.
There's a lot of people walking around. That's Mike Claiborne. I'm Matt Pauly. And that is actually going to do it for the program tonight. We appreciate you being tuned in. Thanks to everybody who was on the show. It was a jam-packed show as we wrap up our run of shows from baseball's winter meetings in Orlando. Again, tomorrow night, countdown to opening day show, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Mike Claiborne and myself, we will talk to you then. Up next, it's our Gas House Gang replay right here on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.